fueled by facts and driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Roadkill Radio. I'm Carrie Simpson, and...
I'm Ron Gray.
And Ron, again, a very important show that we have tonight. We've got two very important guests.
Special guests, as you will see later on in the show.
Well, and certainly special guests that have recently sort of parachuted into our world thanks to a video that was taped at a meeting where Wes Tamelden was speaking, and his mother, Jade Tamelden, who is sitting to his left, was participating in an all-candidates meeting. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, there's a little bit of background to this story, Ron Gray, and this has ignited huge response across this country. You were the lead story, and we're going to just tease you a little bit here, on CTV. You were the lead story on my computer because I was sitting working late, which is typical, and suddenly I kept getting inundated with this video that had been done, and Carrie, you've got to talk to this young man, you've got to talk to his mom, and so the name Jade Tamelden and Wes Tamelden became very familiar to my vocabulary very quick, Ron Gray.
Okay, well, now, without giving away any of what's coming, let's sketch in some background, because there has been a very controversial issue relating to the school board in Burnaby, B.C., and that controversy has brought up a group called Burnaby Parents' Voice, which is now fielding candidates for school board in order to solicit public support for the point of view that they wanted to represent. But the controversy has become so inflamed that there are accusations of racism, there are death threats, there's all sorts of stuff flying around that is not normally the case at what are ordinarily pretty boring municipal level elections.
But Ron, can I stop you there? Because the whole topic of bullying is not centered around Burnaby. This has become, as some articles will say, a cottage industry. The focus on every concerned person is that bullying is getting to extreme levels now. The face of the bullies have changed. It's cruel and harsh treatment. It's not just a question of name callings and where sticks and stones would break your bones. You know, we have a cottage industry that is raised up with people making money because they have an anti-bullying program this, anti-bullying program that. We have political movements capitalizing on situations that shouldn't be being broadcast about in the media to the extremes that they are, because there are certain subject matters that are best wisely dealt with as opposed to using it for political gain and exploitation.
And the exploitation of it has made it a nationwide subject. So,
right.
So this response by a group of parents who were previously not organized on any basis, they just simply came together to discuss what was troubling them, has catapulted Parents' Voice, Burnaby Parents' Voice, into the limelight. And it has also galvanized some of the local political meetings, the all-candidates meetings that precede an election. They're getting audiences now like they didn't usually get.
80 people.
And it was at one of these meetings where I got to give some credit to the lady who was the chair of this. She was making things march along and keeping things in order, and things were moving very well until one of the participants, as it happens, it was Wes Tamelden, who's sitting at our table, stood up and asked a question.
Now, wait, but we have to tell the name of the meet. The sponsorship of this meeting was the Burnaby Community Association for Inclusion.
Yes. And then what happened after that made this a nationwide cause célèbre. I can say that because Tamelden speaks French. So, that's the background.
Okay, and like you, Ron, I mean, I was aware, because we've been following quite closely the things in Burnaby, and I knew that there was an all the candidates debate that night, and I was impressed, like you said, that there was probably 80, 90 people I hear there. And in the audience, because of course of this controversial issue that's taking place in Burnaby, many in attendance included teachers. Also included was the chairman of the Burnaby School Board, Larry Hayes, also in this meeting.
Well, he's a candidate.
And so there was all kinds of questions floating around. But one question in particular turned the meeting totally around and shifted the whole evening's agenda, shifted the whole issue.
And exposed something really sinister.
Caught on video. So let's talk a little bit about what was happening. Now, Jay Tamelden, you are an independent candidate running for the Burnaby School Board. You're very concerned about issues that involved the rights of children and respect and bullying, ironically, in this whole case. But let's not leave everybody too long here. We'll come back to some of the situations that have been the guiding force on you putting your name up to run as a candidate. But let's go to that evening. Now, you were participating in this debate that night?
Yes. I actually answered the first question, which had to do with the school's role in addressing the needs of the broader community and collaborating with community partners. So that was the topic I answered. And then the second and third topic, I sat at the back of the room and listened.
Okay, so this was a very structured meeting. It was being moderated. There were rules and proper procedures in place. The audience up until that moment when your son spoke seemed to be very attentive and listening to, courteous and all the rest of it. Then you rose to address a question to the candidates. Something that was very important to you as a student within a school program, something that had some relevance to your personal experience from last June in a different school district, not Burnaby. You now live in the Burnaby School District. And I've come to know West quite a bit over the last little while. And I'm going to tell our Roadkill Radio audience, this young man is articulate, intelligent, refreshingly involved and informed. He is a credit to his parents. He is a credit to the educational programs where they have contributed in a good way. And you know what? He's also a credit to the experiences within the public education system that no kid should have to go through, because the wisdom and the sensibility that he has demonstrated in the face of these
bullies.
Go
ahead, use the word.
Well, it is bullies, teacher bullies. Wes, first of all, I'd like to say it has been a pleasure to speak with you. It has been a pleasure to meet with you. And you know what? I suspect that you're going to probably be back on Roadkill, often giving us sort of a good voice about what's really going on in the schools. Maybe you can be our number one public school correspondent or something. We'll have to figure that out, because your insights and your ability to understand right from wrong and your ability to put that into an articulate understanding of situations has been most impressive, I have to say.
Maybe at some future date, our prime minister.
There we go. And the world would be a better place.
It would be.
All right, Wes. The meeting, there was a lot of people there. Were you nervous about speaking?
Not really.
Okay. Now I'm going to get you to speak into that mic. Okay? So, and I know you can, because I have a video of it. But you had a very important question that related to an incident that had happened the past June, so a very recent incident involving a school that you had attended in the Vancouver School District. I should make that very clear. But you are now living in Burnaby, so the political scene in Burnaby is very relevant to you. You have obviously come from a family that takes initiative, and when they see issues, take their responsibility in our democratic society seriously, and it comes up to the plate. You just don't complain about it, you do something about it, and I think we need more people like
Congratulations.
That. Congratulations. So you rose because you had a very specific question that was on point to the topic. Can you tell our audience what the question was?
My question was, last year, I witnessed my teacher duct tape a student's mouth shut, and I was wondering what disciplinary action, what would the candidates take?
Okay. Super important question.
An insight, by the way, for the voters and the parents who are at the meeting to consider who they would want to be their trustees. An insight into the classroom and how the trustees would respond. I mean, that was his question. How would the trustees respond to a circumstance like this? What was their response?
Well, and as a parent, I would...
You'd want to know.
You know, I'm watching this video for the first time because there was a video taken of this incident. And I'm thinking... Good question. You know, I don't think many adults would ask that question because this is about bullying in a district that has had a lot of publicity about how they deal or don't deal with bullying, as the case may be. And I thought it was brilliant. But what happened next?
A person, I guess, a Burnaby teacher, got up and kind of yelled at me a little bit, I guess.
Yelled at you? She...
Waggled her finger.
Was appallingly horrible. She was a teacher bully, and she was completely out of line. I mean, it just I sat there, and first of all, I will be honest. A righteous anger and righteous indignation rose very quickly within this mind and heart. At this teacher, and there were two thoughts that, what a not so nice person, I won't say what really came to my mind, and the other thing is, oh, thank God we've got this on video, you know, because people need to see this. So my appreciation to you, first of all, for enduring that and giving people a perfect example of what some teachers are like, because we as parents need to know that. Secondly, for the maturity and the grace for which you have demonstrated over this whole situation. I've watched some of your media interviews, Wes, and how you've dealt with the situation. You are wise beyond your years, and again, you are a credit to your parents, and you are just a gift to the community, wherever you end up residing, because you're going to do good things.
I think we also need to say, Carrie Simpson, that teachers like this are surely a minority. Most teachers are good people who are doing what they do because they care about kids. But, and this has to be said, most teachers have allowed themselves to be bullied into silence in the face of this. And the major bullies in this are the BC Teachers Federation, which has been completely co-opted by a gang of left-wing activists.
Okay, let's not keep everybody in suspense. Let's show them the video, because the video speaks volumes. We don't have to say anything. Here it is, people.
And I want to go to this next question. This will be the last question regarding this section, and then we'll open it up again for all candidates. Go ahead, please.
Last year, I witnessed my teacher duct tape another student's mouth shut during class. I was just wondering what would be an appropriate disciplinary action.
Do you want to ask somebody in particular, or would you like...
As a teacher, I'd like to say that I think that's an inappropriate question for him to ask these people. I think you had a responsibility to go over a teacher and to go to a...
Just a second. Would somebody here like to respond to that question, please? Yeah, and just before we take the response, every now and then somebody's going to ask a question that somebody else feels uncomfortable about. But the reason why I'm trying to be quick with the timing is so everybody gets a chance to ask a question that's respectful and honest and that they really want to hear the answer to. And so that young man asked a question. I'm impartial here. I don't know any background associated with it. Seems like an honest question. It's on topic about safety. And unfortunately, he's not in the room anymore to hear the answer to this question.
Well, my name is Sharon Green, and I'm going to apologize for me. When I made that comment, I've been a teacher in Burnaby for a long time. And it wasn't a criticism of the young boys. I think that it's what happened, as he said, and I don't dispute that. I just think that as a teacher, we would want that dealt with immediately. And I would hope that the principal of the school would have been notified immediately. And I know that from my past experience as a member of PTA and as an officer in PTA, that there is no teacher in Burnaby that would accept that kind of behavior from any of their colleagues.
Thank you very much.
You know, every time I watch that, I just, you know, I'm almost at, almost.
I had the same reactions I had when the time I first saw it. I listened to West's question. That's a good one. My head sort of swung around to the right to where the candidates were waiting for an answer. And then this thing happened.
This thing stood up, yeah.
With purple hair.
Okay. You know, now the interesting part about that, I mean, my first reaction that if I had been in that room, the video would have been really colorful because nobody should ever treat another individual, let alone a student who is case on point and all the rest of it like that. Yeah. To the credit of the moderator, I think everybody, there was a moment of shock. I mean, we were fortunate because we kind of knew something was going on. To her credit, she didn't let too much time lapse, and she admonished the teacher to a degree.
She directed the question to the candidates, which was where it should be. And then she says, look, questions may come up that you're not comfortable with. Live with it, or
yeah,
something to that effect.
And then, as we saw, the teacher comes back in, but she's not remorseful about what she did, or she didn't apologize to you. And Wes, I want to ask you that. To this date, has anyone from the Burnaby School District, from the Burnaby Teachers Association, or anyone affiliated with that event that night given you a formal apology?
Not that I know of.
Well, it also ought to be said that Larry Hayes, who he's just an ordinary candidate like every other candidate now, but he was, while the board was in place, he was the chair of the Burnaby Board of Education. He should have stood up at that point and said, no, that's a good question. And he just sat there silently.
But we know that the Burnaby School trustees that are currently sitting, Larry Hayes chair, don't deal with bullying incidences because we've had other stories go very public about what's going on in that district.
Well, you raised the question, Carrie Simpson, about the records, the files of records of...
We've asked under Freedom of Information for them.
Of cases of bullying and how were they dealt with. And they said they wouldn't be able to find them. And yet the Schools Act mandates that they keep a record and a file on that. Something is very wrong.
Okay, so not only do we have this incident, and I mean, anyone witnessing that video will see how out of line the teacher was. Now, I'm very concerned, and I will tell people at this moment in time, I am going to follow up with this. I am making a formal complaint to the BC College of Teachers about this teacher. I want her to be used as an example that no other student should have to endure that kind of a display of bullying by a teacher, that it's completely wrong, reprehensible. I want her denounced. I want her disciplined. I want other teachers to be sent a very clear message that this is not acceptable. And for all those good teachers, as you allude to, Ron, I want to give them a voice that says that is not what we are or represent as teachers. So a lot of good can come out of this depending on what the College of Teachers does.
By the way, this incident raises once again West's question. What is an appropriate disciplinary action in a case like this?
I'm going to try to get you the answer to that, Wes. Now, okay, that's part one, or what at least opened our eyes to what the conduct of some teachers. But your question wasn't a make-believe question or put anybody on the spot. This is something that you witnessed firsthand in your classroom in Vancouver at Laura Secord School, and you watched your friend have his mouth duct taped by a teacher. Now, I want you to tell us a little bit about your experience at Laura Secord. You can use the name of the teacher. I think that's very appropriate because I think people should be aware of what kind of teacher is in their classroom. Now, did you start in this teacher's classroom? First of all, what is the name of the teacher?
Madame Thibault.
Okay. Now, you were in a French class, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you speak French?
Well enough, I guess.
Okay. So, not only is he smart and articulate, he's bilingual. Okay. It's just getting better and better all the time here. Prime Minister material, for sure.
Absolutely.
You were bang on. Okay. So you started last September in this teacher's classroom, and was this teacher typically pretty good, or were there issues involving the teacher? What was the classroom environment like, Wes?
First day, she kind of played around with us, and there was another teacher there as well, so I was like, okay, this is going to be a good year. And then when we got to actual schoolwork, she was very kind of bossy, and a lot of threats were passed throughout the year, and yelling. And
okay, so you experienced yelling in the classroom?
Constantly, like.
Constantly. What did the other kids think about this teacher?
Everybody that I really talked about her to, nobody liked her. The yelling lost its effect, because it was like, every time she went up to say something, it was yelling or screaming at us.
Okay, now, so time progresses, we come to the end of the year, this is just being, she obviously doesn't have control of her classroom, would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever have substitute teachers or other teachers that were in charge of the classroom where the classroom was orderly and behaved and actually learned something?
Yeah, on Mondays and Tuesdays we had a separate teacher who taught English and science, and then we kind of had... I would say that we had respect for her, and Madame Thibault kind of, after she yelled at us like that, we were like, we just lost all respect.
Okay, and so the name of the teacher that you respected is?
Madame Edwards.
Okay, so Madame Edwards had a different demeanor. She actually taught you things in the class. Children were, your fellow students were attentive and took notes, and the classroom was quiet and orderly?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had that teacher 2 days a week then?
Yes.
Okay, so then Madame Thibault, right? Okay,
yeah.
Towards the end of the year, an incident happened that was the incident that you referred to the night that you spoke at the all-candidates meeting. Can you tell us what happened that day?
It was usual yelling, threats, and then we got to math class before lunch, and I believe we were correcting, and... my friend didn't know one of the questions, and he leaned over and in English was asked, what's question, I can't remember what was the number, but let's say 7. And then I responded, and then she came and just went crazy, and she was just like, she's like, come here in French, and she was like, and he kind of tilted his face away, and she like pushed him a little bit to the ground.
Okay, so I'm trying to get this. So
to the ground?
Yeah, he had to stick out his hand to stay on the seat.
So he's sitting at his desk. Madame Thibault decides that she doesn't like the communication that often happens in a classroom. What did she put over his mouth?
Duct tape, I believe.
And it was, where did the duct tape come from? Was she up at the front of the classroom? How did this happen?
I think she walked to her desk.
Okay, so she went to her desk purposely. So she also had time to think about what she was really going to do or not going to do. One would hope at that point that sensibilities would prevail. She reaches into her desk, obtains the duct tape, comes back to where your friend is seated at his desk, puts the duct tape, or at least attempts to adhere the duct tape to his face, over his mouth, I'm assuming, to the point when he uses so much force that he's knocked out of his seat that he has to put his hand down to stop himself from crashing into the floor.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Then he, like... it wasn't completely on, took it off, put it on his desk, and then she went back to math class like it was a usual day, and he was like, well, you can't just attack me and leave, and she was just like, after he was done ranting, she was just like, okay, are you done? And then he was like, no. He was like, okay, we're finishing math now, and just went on with the math class. And everybody else was in so much shock that, like, I was in shock, we were all like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did you talked with your friends afterwards about this incident? What did you decide should be done?
I wanted to go to the principal or somebody to say that, well, this happened in class and I don't want to go back.
Okay, now let me ask you, as far as your school goes, this is Laura Secord in Vancouver. Are you taught about a code of conduct or anything like that at your school?
They might have mentioned it, but I can't remember any. They say, like, dress code, and in our agendas, they're like, oh, respect each other, respect the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you see respect each other, one would assume that that should go to teachers as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Anywhere in your instructions then that you receive from the school, do they tell you about the proper conduct teachers should be demonstrating to you as students?
No, it's just respect yourselves, respect the community, and respect your school.
Okay, so nothing to the teachers, or you as a student are not told that this is what you can expect from your teachers. You're not told that your teachers should act with respect and kindness and those kinds of things to the students. Are you taught about what should be done in case a teacher steps out of line then?
No.
Okay, so you wanted to go to the principal. Where did that idea come from?
Well, I just thought, first thing I got out of class, everybody was, like, angry, or some of the girls were, like, in tears a little bit.
Okay, so there was so much shock, and that was your word. Okay, some of the girls were crying?
Yeah, he sat in one of the four desk tables, and the girl in front of him was, like, in tears.
Okay. Would you say that some of your fellow students were afraid of this teacher?
Definitely.
So you are having to endure an educational environment where you fear a teacher.
Yep.
And I would say legitimately fear a teacher. I mean, a teacher that would put duct tape over a student's mouth is not somebody I would have trust and confidence in.
Knock a student to the floor.
Yeah, know. No. Okay, so we have great upset. Did the teacher do anything to calm the concern of the girl that was crying?
Oh, no. She just left class, and I think she went to the washroom and just cried for all of lunch, I think.
Oh, okay. So you decide that this isn't right. I agree with you. You decide, probably because your parents have taught you that nobody should treat each other unkindly and that the adults should be taking care of the situation. You go to the proper authority, the head of the school. Good for you. You want to go there, so you want to take some of the other students with you to talk about this. What happened in your discussions with your fellow students?
So it constantly was, okay, let's go, and then we'd get to the door, and then they'd be like, well, what if our grades are affected? Nobody wanted to really go because they were all scared that something was going to happen that would affect their grades or it would happen to them.
Okay, and those are all legitimate concerns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so not only do we have a teacher that's instilling fear and not creating a safe environment in the school for learning, we also have a group of students now that are being taught to conform to a code of silence because there is no assurance or confidence within the hierarchy at the school that this will be dealt with in a responsible way that safeguards your academic performance and grades and all the rest of it. So this thing has a whole big snowball effect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say.
So the administration has not given you the confidence that issues will be dealt with fairly and impartially.
Yeah. Also, the principals and vice principal, all of us knew that they weren't very nice either. They would kind of not give us threats, but they were always, like, they would catch us doing, like, running, like, through an area where we were kind of not allowed to run. It's like a rocky area, and they would yell at us. Or if we were, like, playing games that weren't allowed and things like that, they were kind of not very nice, and they were always nagging us.
Well, yeah, but shouldn't they be nagging you and not being nice if you're doing things that you're not supposed to be doing?
Well, for instance, they kind of gave us a little. When we played this game where we'd hit the ball against the wall and it would bounce back, and then after that, they kind of yelled at us because we were damaging school property because a brick wall versus a tennis ball is a problem.
So instead of explaining things in a reasoned, practical way, you get met with just...
She kind of took the ball away and just left.
Okay. Yeah. So now I want to come back to that because I know that your observations of these individuals are probably concerning and accurate, because when you got home from this incident, you obviously informed your mom that what had transpired in the school that day. And so, Jade, I want to go to you now, because your son obviously, you know, tried to take and deal with the issues. I trust that even if he had spoken to the principal, you would have probably found out, because if I was the principal and an articulate young individual like your son came to me, I would phone you and say, Mrs. Meldon, what a wonderful son you have. You know? But I'm suspecting that's not what happened.
No, I actually received an email from the girl who cried, his mother.
Okay.
And she had addressed it to all the parents in the class. So she sent out a mass email about the incident. And
what did she convey in the letter?
Well, she told me that my son had tried to persuade his peers to say something, but that they were all too scared.
Okay.
So I offered to go with the children as a parent, because I have flexibility at work. So I could go do that and support them. And I actually contacted the school and tried to make a meeting with the vice principal, because the children had chosen the vice principal over the principal to speak to.
Okay.
So we went in the morning and tried to catch her. And she told me that she would not allow the children to speak as a group, and that if they wanted to talk to her, they would have to do it privately with her one-on-one.
Isn't that called divide and conquer?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I returned an email to the girl's mother saying, she's planning to meet with your daughter individually. Please don't do this because it's not safe for her.
Yeah.
And but I went with Wes the following day to support Wes so that he would have a chance to speak.
And so you go to this meeting expecting to be met with at least some professionalism. What happened at the meeting?
Well, during the meeting, she actually didn't listen very much about the situation in the classroom. Instead, she started to speak to Wes in French, and she turned away, and I felt like she was doing it on purpose because she maybe assumed I couldn't understand her.
So she's just dismissing you. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
she's ignoring me.
Yeah.
And she's just speaking to Wes in French.
That's more divide and conquer.
Yeah, because she's assuming I can't understand the language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she was wrong.
She's wrong. So she asked him, how is class? How are you fine? Like, are you having a tough time understanding? Just questions about his learning in French. And then she sends him off to go attend a talk that the principal is about to give. So Wes leaves, and then it's me and her alone. And then she tries to tell me that my son has a lower level of French, and the reason that he's anxious and doesn't want to return to class was because he's an anxious child.
Wait a minute. Wasn't the meeting about the duct tape situation?
She didn't want to talk about it.
No, obviously. Okay. So you obviously set her straight on that the issues we're here for. Now, let's talk about Wes. Now, you moved to Burnaby, and we're going to come back to the Laura secret story, but you moved to Burnaby shortly after from Vancouver, but Wes is still having to go to school in Vancouver now. Like, you explain how that's working.
So Wes attended a late French immersion program, and it's a tough program because most of the kids don't have any French. Actually, I speak French at home. I have a degree in French. So Wes had a little bit of a foot up, I guess. And the kids in this program, they're academically hardworking and very intelligent. So they tend to apply to special mini schools, and Wes was in this program sort of to get that way.
Okay.
So he applied to a venture program, which is pre-IB.
Okay, IB. Now let's talk about that, because that's academically demanding. That's prestigious within our public system.
Hold on just a second, Carrie Simpson. And Jay, just give me a moment with West. West, tu as déjà trouvé le français trop difficile?
Pas vraiment.
Okay. Because the vice principal was trying to tell you that he's having trouble with French, all right? And I asked him, West, have you up to now found French too difficult? And he said, not really. Okay.
Okay, so the IB program, so he's in a precursor to the IB program. Now tell us a little bit, what does IB stand for?
IB stands for International Baccalaureate.
Okay.
So it is an internationally recognized high school diploma. So if you choose to leave BC to study, you won't have to upgrade to whatever that country standards is for the university you want to attend.
So this is highly desirable.
This is the top of the top.
This is the creme de la creme. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know I probably didn't put the proper French accent on that, but y'all know what I'm talking about. That's my southern twang accent with the French creme de la creme. Okay, so he's a smart guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the reason why you have to go to Vancouver for the IB program, though, is because it doesn't exist in Burnaby, right?
That's right.
Okay. So we know he can speak French. We know he's smart. You go, let's go back to the situation at the school. There you are with the vice principal. She's off topic. She's not dealing with what the real issue is. What happens next?
So I actually spoke to her in French, and I said to her that that's funny. Wes actually had one of the highest grades in his class for French. And I walk off, and I know that my son is actually still not prepared to be in the classroom. So I go to his classroom just to make sure he's okay to be there. I knock on the door, and it's Madame Edwards that day. And I said to her that I know that the principal's coming in to
She's
give a speech.
The teacher that was respected. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So I knew that Wes would feel fine, but still I wasn't sure. So I asked if I could come in and listen to the talk, because I was very concerned about what the principal was going to say about the incident, because I didn't want my son to hear that it was okay for a teacher to behave that way.
So your understanding is the reason why the principal was going in to address the class was specific to the duct tape situation. Okay,
yes.
So you go to the class, and I as a parent would be there. You bet I would. So you knock on the door, and what happens?
She offers me a seat by her desk.
This is Madame Edwards,
and says, please come in. And so I sit, and I'm reading a few of those Scholastic magazines. And then the principal comes in, she sees me and walks directly to me and tells me that I have to leave the classroom.
Did she say why?
She told me that because the other parents were not informed of the talk, I was not allowed to hear the talk. I guess because I don't know why. And I explained to her that my son's not comfortable and I'm here to support him. And she says to me, I heard your little talk. Referring to my conversation with a vice principal. They didn't have offices there. They've got
cubicles
so yeah. She could hear. And she's standing over me. I'm seated in a chair, and she's telling me, you need to leave. And I said, okay, I'm going to go. And so I got up, and I told Wes that I'm not invited to listen. I've been asked to leave, and so I'm leaving. And then and I told Wes, you can stay if you like, but he got up and left with me.
Good man.
And, so we both left. So we have no idea what they talked about.
Well, I do.
Well,
okay. Well, then, okay. Tell us now. We'll be very specific because we are sticklers for facts here. This is obviously secondhand information.
I messaged my friends on Facebook.
Okay, so this is sort of hearsay evidence, but we're going to listen to it anyway. So, what did your friend say the talk was about?
Basically, she just said that everything's getting taken care of, and she just wants a list of complaints.
Okay, so there was some movement there on this. Now, to this day, do you know what's happened with this teacher then?
I know she still teaches.
Okay, so she's still teaching. We don't know if, did anyone apologize to the students? Did anyone apologize to you?
No,
Did anyone at any point in time put into writing that this is wrong?
Well, I know that the day that I didn't show up, the teacher was creepily nice. She was like, I guess you could say, like, oh, I'm safe now, like, to the point where I came in and I was angry, but I had a project due, so I was like, here's the project. And she's like, don't worry, I'll write your name on it, I'll put a border around it, it's okay.
Okay, so she's going overboard to make amends, but did she apologize to you?
She was like, oh, I just explained to the class that it's not right what I did. And
okay,
I'm
well,
sorry.
That's a thing. But you know what?
Jade, did anyone apologize to you for excluding you from the class?
No. I wrote a letter to the superintendent about it.
Uh-huh.
And I received a response that they were satisfied with how it was dealt with.
Well, yeah, but now we have a whole nother situation on how you were dealt with, right? Which any parent, I'll tell you, if you try to boot me out of one of my kids' classroom, you're going to have another thing coming. You know, it's just not going to happen, right?
And I suspect that I would have stood up and told the principal a thing or two if that's the case, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, this whole situation, I just here, you know, and Wes, to your credit, I don't think anything would have been done in that situation had you not shown the proper leadership that was required there. I don't think that the, you know, the mother of the girl who was left in tears would have been, you know, on your own, because it is that divide and conquer strategy. And I use the word strategy, people, because they have training sessions on how to deal with parents on these things. And this is why this show is so important. This show is about why parents need to communicate with each other. You need to communicate with your kids. You need to give your kids license to tell you what's going on in their classroom, because they are your eyes and your ears. You need to equip your kids with the fact that, you know, there's a lot of really good teachers, but there are some bad teachers too. We need to make sure that those lines of communication, which you two obviously have, and you fostered and nurtured that in your relationship, which is a good thing. You know, this is going on in the classrooms of BC, and the only reason why we found out about this is because you had the wisdom and the good sense, of which you can take a lot of credit for, Jade, of establishing that as far as your relationship goes. Parents, you cannot trust teachers. The good teachers will respect you for being involved and aware of what's going on in the classroom. The bad teachers will hate you. There's a clue in that.
To parents in the audience, how else are you going to know what is going on in the classroom? Are you going to become dependent on the report cards that get sent home, which are full of vague general allusions and not much detail? You've got to listen to your children, otherwise you have no idea what's going on. Now, you got to challenge your children if they're if they're abusing the right to communicate to you, if they're alleging things that you think might not be true. But you got to listen to them. They're your eyes and ears on the classroom.
Well, and let's face it, Ron, we've done enough shows over enough issues to know that kids in a lot of circumstances are now being programmed, and I use that word very deliberately, not to tell their parents. There is a divide and conquer strategy that's being implemented, an undermining of parental values, relationships, ethics and morality that we know is happening. So even more important to establish those kinds of things.
Well, let me go back to the quote that you pulled out of the newspaper.
The National Post.
Of Lambert, the head of the BC Teachers Federation, saying that the education of the children should be left to the professionals. Mm-hmm. Well, that is pure baloney. Jade, you are your son's primary educator. You delegate a part of that responsibility to some professionals to provide you mm-hmm. with a service of educating West. But he's not their kid.
That's right.
And when he grows up, he will not be their responsible adult. He is still your... He is your next generation in this culture.
Mm-hmm. West, I want to talk a little bit about your educational experiences so far at the grand age of 13 now?
Yeah.
Okay. For the overwhelming majority of your educational experience, has it been a positive, okay, or good?
Good.
Okay. So that's a good thing. When you see what's happening in the classrooms, like the duct tape situation, I mean, you obviously, because you've experienced good things in the schools, and again, the good mm-hmm. teachers are going to love this show, because that code of silence, that's what happens to them too. They can't complain about a fellow teacher that they know is wrong,
right?
Because they'll lose their job, right? And they can't, the unions, there's a whole bunch of power structures that are in place to make it very bad. We are creating a website through Culture Guard called Report a Teacher. And we're going to have good reports and bad reports, because we think parents should know, because we know that the school districts don't always tell everybody what goes on. So Culture Guard special, people, coming up in the near future, Report a Teacher. And I suspect your video will be front and center on that website. The video that we saw earlier in this program is available on theCultureGuard.com and obviously on Roadkill Radio. you know, we believe that people should have access to information and should know what is being taught in the classroom, how it's being taught, and teachers such as Sharon Freeman should be exposed when they do things that are equivalent to bullying. I mean, there was no other explanation for what the teacher did at that public meeting.
The other side of that, Carrie Simpson, is I've already got two names that I want to put on as commendations from my grandkids' school. Two really good teachers whose names I want to put on there. But you have to do both sides.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we between the two of us, Ron, we have survived education, you know, with my four kids and your zillion kids and you know,
nine.
I've had the privilege of meeting amazing teachers who are dedicated. As a matter of fact, you have a teaching background, Jade.
Yes.
You know what the system should be doing, right? Mm-hmm. But those bad apples, you know, shouldn't be allowed to spoil the whole bunch, right? Yeah. So this is a good thing. And you know what? Again, I appreciate what's gone on, and I hope every parent will let their 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kid watch this show tonight and see what is a good thing to do, how you demonstrate leadership, because that's what you did, how you demonstrate wise leadership, because you didn't go bonkers and all those other things. You were very wise in your counsel to your friends. You were wise in your delivery of information to your mom. You've been absolutely brilliant on this show. You know, a lot of good things. And this show will give your kids the license to have that kind of communication with the parents and with their schools. So the majority of your experience?
Great.
Well, he was homeschooled for 6 years. So.
And well,
okay, the truth comes out.
Jade, I'm a big fan of homeschooling.
Well, you know what, Jade? And it shows, right? I mean, this is... You know what? We're going to have you back on for another expose on the changing trends within education, because the public education system is, unless you are, you know, have an extremely intelligent child that you can get them into the special programs, increasingly families are being left with no alternative, because if you want private schools, my kids all went to private schools, reduced half my problems because I didn't have to deal with drugs and alcohol and all that other kind of stuff. We dealt with a system that was accountable, transparent, upfront about things. If we had a problem with a teacher, we could deal with it. Not every parent nowadays has those opportunities. The whole public education system and its movement towards social engineering, political ideology as opposed to education. I know, idiotology. You got to get the idiotology in there. You know, I think we're in for a bit of a revolution as far as where we see education is going, and parental choice. Maybe the voucher system will be ultimately the...
Carrie, let me read the audience a cartoon that I've saved on my computer. It's a character called Mallard Fillmore. He's a duck. Just go with it. Anyway, here is Mallard Fillmore appearing as a news commentator and saying, in other news... Homeschooled kids scored in the 60 to 85th percentile range on U.S. and Canadian standardized tests, compared to the 50th percentile for public schooled kids. If you're having trouble understanding those numbers, ask a homeschooled kid for help with the math.
There you go. Okay, we have fast run out of time, you know, and we will do this again. Will you come back and join us, Wes?
Of course.
Okay. We have a date in the future. You're going to just keep us posted on all things educationally inclined, you know, for the youth, the up-and-coming young prime minister. Jade, thank you so much. And just all the credit in the world to raising such a wonderful young man and for all your good work in the community. I know we didn't get into your broad resume, but you are an involved, active, caring individual who I'm so impressed. So thank you for joining us here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Good night to both of you.
Okay, everybody, that's Roadkill Radio for this week. You can bet we'll be back.
Good night to the audience.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.